So I hope that by now in our stewardship series, you've seen very plainly that stewardship is not about money. It's about life management. It's about how we live our lives for Jesus Christ every day. It's about sanctification, the process of becoming holy, and the maturation that we go through in our faith. It truly is about growth in faith, sanctification, and faith maturity. In fact, our lives and our hearts must be aligned with God's will before we can even begin to be the humble, joyful givers that God blesses. I want you to hear that again. God teaches this, and this is crucial for us to understand in stewardship and in tithing. Our hearts and our wills and our lives must be aligned with that of God's will before we can even begin to experience the blessings and joys that God pours down in giving and tithing with our money. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." One of my favorite verses. I like the word delight. Let me ask you a question. When you hear delight, what comes to your mind? Happy? What else? Fulfillment? What else? When you hear delight, what comes to your mind? Ice cream. I think of that too, Dave, and I can't even eat ice cream. That's pretty funny. What else? I remember myself as a little kid getting that cone of cream. My grandma always called it cone of cream after dinner, you know. That was the best part of being at grandma's house, you know, and there was delight in that. You see delight on kids' faces more than you do in adults' faces these days. Have you noticed that too? You can always see, especially Christmas morning when the kids come in and they see the gifts around the tree, that expression of delight. Well, God wants us to take delight in him. He wants to be the biggest bowl of ice cream we've ever had. He wants us to find happiness and blessing and joy in him. He desperately wants us to do that. He says, "Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart." Taking delight in God, he will give us the desires of our heart. And what does that mean, the desires of our heart? That means it's a life of forgiveness, a life of mercy, a life of compassion, a life free from grudges and gossip, a life free to witness and make disciples and tell other peoples about Jesus and his love, one of complete surrender and submission. Now, I don't know about you, but that really sounds kind of like the life I would like to have, because in that life described, there is peace, there is hope, there's abundance of treasure and grace poured out from God. And God says, all you got to do is delight in me. Align your will with mine. Seek refuge in me. Be still and know that I am God. Let me work in your life. Surrender. Submit to me. Hand over your burdens and your trials and everything else going on, and let me take care of it for you, and I will pour out abundantly the greatest desires of your heart. Notice he doesn't say you're getting an orange Lexus. That's my desire. But he says he's going to give you forgiveness and life and peace and joy. Not ice cream either, Dave, sorry. But everything else that is good and perfect. Because what did we just confess in our Apostles' Creed for today? He gives us everything that we need to support this body and this life. And we truly know and mean that. But not only this body and this life, he does it for eternity as well through Jesus Christ. If you are not here yet, meaning if you are not at a place of delighting yourself in the Lord, if you're not at a place where your will is aligned with his, heed this word from God. Do not give to the church. Wait a minute. What did Pastor just say? If you are not aligned with God's will and have not come to that place of delighting in the Lord, do not give to the church, because it is simply a good work trying to earn your own righteousness, which displeases God and he turns it away. Are you kidding me? Pastor just said that? And last week we voted to give him a raise? What's wrong with this world? You see, the reality is, tithing is the ultimate process, end process, or maturation of faith maturity. It's an action of being mature in faith. God wants us to completely be surrendered to him before we ever give him one penny. Because in order to give him our money, he has to have our hearts and our lives first. Because that's what he wants. That's what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks in our devotions. You see, God promises to bless abundantly the giver in many ways. He promises to abundantly bless the giver, as we saw in our last verse on that screen, tenfold by pouring out blessings in your life. But notice, this is the kind of giver God wants, which is pre-qualified in the lessons that you've heard today. He wants a cheerful giver. He wants a giver who enjoys giving. You know, it took me a long time to get to that point. When I first started giving, especially as a teenager, and I had my first job, and Mom said, you had to give to the church, I hated it. Because I could have used that money to take a girl out or buy an ice cream cone, you know? That's just the reality. But as I've gotten older, I've realized there is great joy in giving. It feels good to give. It feels good to give to the church. It feels good to give to St. Jude's Cancer Research Center. It feels good to give to others who are in need. It feels abundantly good and makes you cheerful in the heart to give to God out of your own poverty or wealth. He says he wants a joy-filled giver. Well, isn't that the same as cheer? I guess. But I kind of see cheer as happiness and joy being more of a spirit of blessedness, one with peace, one with singing and dancing. He wants a giver who is filled with joy, who abundantly gives to him out of the joy in their heart. Now listen to this. He wants a giver who gives without reluctance or compulsion. Meaning, if you place your offering in the offering plate, but you don't agree with what's going on at church, or you don't like the things that are happening, then don't give. Because your giving's not blessed. Your giving comes out of compulsion. A reluctance. Or, he says, don't give because I have to give. Don't give and put something into the offering plate so that others see I place an envelope in the offering plate. Because that's out of reluctance. And God won't bless that either. That's not the kind of giver he wants. And so often today, I think what happens in churches is we preach tithing, 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 and we guilt people into tithing, and guess what? Then they don't give, or they do give, they feel reluctant, and the church isn't blessed. Because we have a whole church who's giving out of law-based origin instead of gospel cheerful-based origin. And here's the last thing God says about giving. Give free from judgment. In other words, if you are giving to the church, there is no judgment on what the church does with the money, as long as it's legal, upright, and helps the kingdom of God. If you put money in the offering plate and say, or don't put money in the offering plate with the attitude, well, I'm not giving to the church because I don't agree with where that's going or what they're doing, don't give to the church. You will not be blessed. The church will not be blessed. And that's not the kind of giver that God wants. Now, that's a harsh, pretty harsh statement, isn't it? Because it's opposite of what we've been taught. We've been taught that God says you have to give, you have to give, you have to give. And that's what's wrong with the picture of the church of the world today. Because we are not here to make money. And I know all of those who deal with money right now are saying, Pastor, shut up. But we're not. We are here to save lost souls so that they may go to heaven. We are here to feed the hungry. We are here to take those who are broken and depressed with mental illness and give them restoration and hope. We are to take the sick and the sad and to fill them with joy and healing. That is the purpose of the church. Money should always be secondary to that. Because in order to be aligned with God's will, first and foremost, God's will is that all people come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus and be saved, which means that's where our will needs to be aligned to as well. And then, as God works his work in us, we begin to have a transformation in our lives. We give from our hearts to the glory of God and the growth of his kingdom so that the poor will be fed. The hungry, poor will be clothed, the hungry will be fed, the broken will be repaired and healed, the sad and lonely will find friendship, God wants your heart before he wants anything else. And that means your money too. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Notice that. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is God really saying about that? What is the treasure you have in your life? What is the greatest treasure? If I were to ask you what your greatest treasure is in your life, would all of you raise your hand when I said money? You know, maybe some of us would. I probably, in my younger days, would have said, yeah, that's the greatest treasure I have. But nowadays, most of us realize as we get older that some of the greatest treasures we have are family, friends, a good place to worship. Right? Our treasure is being able to help others who cannot help themselves. Our treasure is being able to share the love of Jesus with people who are heading to hell because they don't know Jesus, so that they too may have salvation in Christ their Savior. You see, that's where our treasure is. And when our hearts become aligned with the treasures that God gives us, then we become joyful givers of not only our money, but our time and our talents and our gifts and our abilities as well. Look at the example of Zacchaeus and the poor widow in our lesson for today. I love the story of Zacchaeus. My grandma taught me that when I was a little kid. You know that song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. You remember that? A wee little man was he? You know? Anyways, and so he was trying to see Jesus because Jesus was popular and he wanted to see Jesus and he was a tax collector. But Jesus was in town and man, I guess, you know, he had to see Jesus. So he climbed up in a sycamore tree. Or I always remember my grandma, poor little thing. I loved her to death growing up in the mountains of Tennessee, a sycamore tree. So he climbed up in that sycamore tree and the Lord Jesus came passing by. And what did Jesus do? He said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there. I'm going to your house today. What happened to Zacchaeus when Jesus entered his house and ministered to him? What was the first change you noticed in Zacchaeus? Was it money? It was his heart and his life, because he realized who Jesus was. And when his heart and his life became aligned with the will of Jesus, his life transformed. And what did he say? Not only am I going to give back to those who are hurt, but I'm going to give in general to those who have need. A perfect example of what it means to have our heart and our lives and our will and our souls aligned with God. Notice the widow. That widow, that amazes me. You know, you hear other stories in the New Testament where Jesus talks about the rich man and the Pharisees, and they're bragging about how much money they put in the offering plate. You know, look at me, I can put this much money in the offering plate. Look how good I am. By the way, that happens in modern day churches to do too. It hasn't happened here yet, but I've served churches before where people will come into my office and they'll say, Pastor, I don't agree with what you're doing, and you know we're one of the biggest givers in the church, to which my response is usually, any church will be glad to take your money. And that's true. But the Pharisee did it. I think about the Pharisee who stood up and remember he prayed the big prayer publicly. And then the man was off in the corner with his head bowed down and prayed lowly. And what did Jesus say? Look at that man. He prays faithfully. And that poor widow, she came into the church and she put in 2 copper coins, everything she had, because she knew that God would take care of her. Her heart was aligned with God's will. She knew without any doubt that she was delighting in the Lord and didn't worry one bit about that being her last penny, her last coin. She knew God was going to take care of her. So she gave out of the abundance of her heart as she was aligned with God and his will. You know, I like telling this story because it's a true story. After Steph and I got married, the Lord plagued me with several health problems while I was at the seminary. And the first one was I had an abscess in my tonsils, and they had to come out right away. And those days, seminarians didn't have very good insurance, you know. And so I had to have the surgery, and then, long story short, I wound up going to the hospital twice and having hemorrhages, and so it was getting quite costly. And we went to church one Sunday. And on the way there, this shows maturity of faith. I said to Steph, you know, maybe we should cut back on our giving this week because we have medical bills to pay. And my wife, being more mature in her faith, said no. It's going to be the last penny in our checking account, but we're going to give to God. And I thought she was crazy. Not anymore. Because when we got home from church that day, there were bags of groceries and a very large check from the Lutheran Women's Missionary League sitting at our front door for us as a gift to cover our food and medical expenses that we had incurred. I learned something from my wife that day is so valuable. When your heart and your life is aligned with God's will, when you delight in Him and trust Him for everything, He blesses you tenfold. God loves a joyful giver. God will give you the desires of your heart. And those desires are the greatest things: joy, peace, forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life, which He has already given you through His death and resurrection. They already belong to you because Jesus loves you as our King and our Savior and promises never to stop loving you. We are going to fail miserably at aligning ourselves with God's will. We will fail. We will fall short of God's glory because we are sinners. But the good and glorious news is God forgives us and already has forgiven us and continues to pour out into our lives abundantly every day His grace and mercy, which gives us the ability to stand up, to rejoice in Him, and to continue moving forward in His life, in His forgiveness, and His salvation as He puts our lives back together with His. And you know, there is something amazing about giving, about tithing. When God says, "Put me to the test and I will bless you tenfold," He really does mean it. Because in fact, in Scripture, God says, "Don't put the Lord your God to the test." But the only time He says it's okay to put me to the test is with this promise: give from a joyful heart, a heart that desires me, and I will bless you tenfold. In the name of Jesus, amen.